What I mean by that is we love to hear doctrinal, what God is, what God does, what He has for us. But when we start talking about what we need to do in response to Him, we get sleepy. Heads start drooping. But it's God's Word. And I appreciate everything that Elder Burkett has said this morning, and it is very much an excellent introduction as we continue our study of the parable of the sower and the soils. And those soils represent the heart, don't they?
Yes.
How the condition of the heart. And the point of the parable is how we hear. The purpose of the parable is who will bear fruit to the glory of God. And the goal of the parable is the glory of God. That's our job as disciples, isn't it? To bear fruit to His glory. All right? So when we bear that fruit to His glory, then we're pleasing Him in the things that we do. Now, last Sunday, we began this study. We talked about the first two ways that the scriptures tell us in this parable. Let me just, it's just a few verses. Let me just read again. Matthew 13. Matthew 13. I'll begin in verse 3. Obviously, he's speaking to the multitude here. He says, and he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, behold, a sower went forth to sow, and when he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. And we talked about that. The wayside was something that was not plowed. It was where they walked. It was hard. The seed would just fall upon it, and the birds would gather up or snatch the seed away, and that was representative of when the word is preached, and the heart is not prepared, as Brother John prayed this morning. The heart's not prepared to receive it, and so Satan snatches the word away before it has a chance to take root and bear fruit. And I gave you a little test last week. You remember that? I think some folks missed it. But the test was that when the last amen was said, what I said was that there'd be folks that would jump up and they'd start talking about anything but what was preached, and the devil would just snatch away everything that was sown. Brethren, if we're praying that the Lord would send a message, shouldn't we be preparing our heart to receive it? Brother John gave us a good description of how we should be doing in hearing and taking it home with us and thinking about it some more. And if we were doing more of that, this church would be filled to capacity. The preaching would be better. Do you believe that? Because the hearing would be better. The Spirit would be working more. But sometimes the word is preached. It falls upon hard ground. The devil snatches it away. It doesn't have a chance to bear any fruit. All right, the second thing we talked about was the seed on the stony ground. Oh, that's a little better. At least it's not solid. But it's not soft, is it? It's stony. It's rocky. And the seed fell upon that, and it sprang up. But when the heat came, it withered away. I'm just going to paraphrase instead of reading here. It withered away because Matthew says it had no root. Luke says it lacked moisture. Do you know that's saying the same thing? I mean, that root is seeking moisture, isn't it? If you don't believe that, you run a septic line out past a tree and in a little while find out what's in it. The root's looking for that moisture, the work of the Spirit nourishing refreshing that root so that the strength can come up into the plant. All right, so there was the seed that fell upon the wayside. There was the seed that fell upon the stony ground. And by the way, we talked about that, those verses that Jesus taught before he got to the explanation of the parable, remember? And he went back and quoted from Isaiah, how this people's heart is waxed gross, and they were dull of hearing. And that's exactly what this parable is all about. He reaches back and gave the word that he himself, the word of God, had given to Isaiah to give to his people hundreds of years before that. And then he repeats that in the form of this parable, stating it a little differently, but the same need and the same teaching of how we need to have our heart prepared to hear the word of God and then put it into practice. Because it's when we put it into practice that the fruit is being born, right? All right, so this whole parable is about how we hear the word of God, how we receive the word of God, how much fruit is born, and how much glory is given to God. And there's various ways, and all four of these situations can be a child of God. Depending on what's going on in your life, depending on the state of your heart and your mind, that word may not penetrate. It may just bounce off. There may be stony ground. There may not be much earth. There may not be much root. And by the way, the root that he's talking about here is understanding. How much understanding do we have when we hear the word? We need to be reading this word. You know, I've said it many times before, but over the years there have been people saying, well, I just don't read the Bible because I don't understand it. Well, let me show you a mystery. The more you read it, the more you will understand it. And the more you read it, begging God for understanding, the more he'll reward them that diligently seek him. Do you believe that? Is that the truth? Then it's available to us. And we need to be doing that, don't we? All right? So some of that seed fell by the wayside. And this is and by the way, boy, I wish I had several hours, but last week we referred to Jeremiah 17. And we talked about how that when the seed fell on the stony ground, and when the heat came, because there was not much root, and like Luke says, it lacked moisture, it withered away. Now in Jeremiah 17, he talks about cursed are they that trust in man, cursed is be the man that trusteth in man. And he describes the kind of person that will be. The one that's cursed for trusting in man instead of God. And verse 6, Jeremiah 17, verse 6, he says, for he shall be like the heath in the desert. I didn't spend a lot of time on that part or that verse. He shall be, the one that trusts in man and not God is like a heath in the desert. In other words, just a bush, maybe a scrubby looking bush in a desert place. He shall be like that. In other words, his life, instead of flourishing and bearing much fruit to the glory of God, it's like a desolate, barren desert land. Do you want your life to be like that for God? When he's shown you his grace and he's shown you his mercy and he's shown you his love and he sent his son to this world to suffer and die to redeem you from your sins and heaven will be your home. Is that the way you reward him in living your life? No, John 15 says, herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. So shall you be my disciples. So rather than our life being unto God like a barren tree in a desert land, Jeremiah goes on, you know, he said it shall be like a heath in the desert and shall not see when good cometh. In other words, he wouldn't perceive it. He wouldn't realize it. That's like a child of God, born of the Spirit of God, But their mind and their heart is in such a condition, they're not receiving any of the goodness of God. As far as, you know, understanding His Word and being able to rejoice in it and apply it to life and bearing fruit. Won't see it. It's interesting to me that same word Jesus used when He said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Won't perceive it. Won't appreciate it. Can't understand it. Then he goes on talking about how, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, an assault land, and not inhabit it. The stony heart, the one that lacks root to reach down and hold on faithfully to the teachings of God. You know, that's what roots do for a tree. That tree, with those roots going down deep and in the earth, and it gives stability, doesn't it, to the tree. And when the winds and the storms blow, that tree can stand up to it. We need that, don't we? If you haven't already, somewhere in your life, you're going to face some storms. You're going to face some strong winds. You need that stability. And listening to the Word of God and learning the ways of God will allow you that root to go deep and grab hold and be faithful and trust God, even in the midst of the storm. That's what faith is all about, isn't it? You know, it's good. It's easy to be faithful when things are going good, isn't it? Although we tend to forget the Lord. But it's in the storms. It's in the trials. When the heat comes, will we be faithful? Will we hold on? Are we deeply rooted in the Word of God and trusting God and the love of God? Or will we just shrivel up and be unfruitful? Seed in the stony ground. He talks about, but trusting in the Lord and how He's like a tree planted by the waters that spreadeth out her roots by the river and shall not see when heat cometh. Doesn't affect it. Still faithful. Still fruitful when the heat comes. All right. Back to Matthew 13. Those two are given. And again, already we see the need for hearing the Word of God and understanding, because this root that's being spoken of is referring to our depth of understanding. The next part of the parable, and again, if we just read the beginning of the parable in Matthew 13, verse 7, and some seed fell among thorns. And the thorns sprung up and choked them. The thorns sprung up and choked them. What's them? The words of God. Those words that are supposed to penetrate, those words that are supposed to be there and germinate and grow and bring forth fruit in our lives. That gets choked out by the thorns. What on earth could that be? Is it possible that things can choke out the Word from our life being fruitful? Is that possible for a child of God? I'm glad you think so. When Jesus gives the explanation, listen to what He says. He also that receives seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word. Oh, there's some hearing. That's good. He hears the word. And I'm going to say that because of what's happening here, not only did he hear it, but he heard it in such a way that he understood it. That's good, isn't it? We're thankful that we can understand some of the Word of God. So they heard the Word. And the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke
choke
the word. And he, not just the words, but he, the one that heard it, he becometh unfruitful. Brethren, this is one of the most important lessons that we as a church face today. Now, I'm not saying we're exclusive in this, because the more I visit with other preachers, I know it's happening everywhere. But we're not everywhere. We're here. We're Piney Grove. If we hear the word, if we follow the word, God can bless us and bless us and bless us, even if others are falling by the wayside. It's how we hear the word. It's how we respond to the word. It's how we bear fruit to the glory of God. And it takes it right down to the individual, not just the church. I can't receive it for you. You can't receive it for me. I can pray for you, and I do every day. And you can pray for me. I hope you do. But appreciate for just a little bit the precision of God's word. Here's a general principle. Works for anybody born of the Spirit of God. But how you receive it and how you apply it will determine how much you rejoice in the things of God. Again, he that receiveth seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word. What we're talking about here is something the common folk understood. The common folk heard Jesus gladly. He spoke in ways that there were things that they understood. He used common things to represent spiritual lessons. And wherever there was the Spirit of God opening their eyes and their heart to it, they were able to take that word and apply it. And so what we're talking about here is a parable of the sower. And the goal is that fruit would be born to the glory of God. So how are you going to do that? Well, in our day, there's a lot of farmers that practice, for some things, no-till farming. They don't plow the ground. Costs too much. They've got a seed drill. They force a seed down into that hard ground. And for that type of grain or that type of seed, it'll come up. But you know, there's a lot of God's people that are trying to practice no-till Christianity. See why I said you had dessert first? Brethren, our hearts need to be prepared. And that's like plowing the ground. And we may be on this a while. That heart, you know, in Ezekiel we read about God taking out the hard, stony heart and giving us a heart of flesh and feeling. And until he does that, we cannot receive the word. But after he does that, and like we said last week, I wish that once a person is born of the Spirit of God, that old nature was eradicated, and that you'd always be loving, you'd always be faithful, you'd always be attentive to the word, you'd always be bearing much fruit to the glory of God. I wish that would always happen to those who are born of the Spirit of God. But you know as good as I do, it doesn't. It doesn't. And so, what we need to be doing is preparing our hearts. The seed that fell by the wayside, it was hard, impenetrable. the stony ground, that it fell and got into some stone, you know, some rocky places, but it wasn't able to put down a deep root of understanding. But here, among the thorns, where it's implied that it did enter the earth, perhaps that ground was prepared, but there were thorns. You ever had a garden and you broke the land and planted your seed, and then all of a sudden all kinds of stuff started coming up that you didn't plant? Isn't that amazing? It's amazing how much stuff can come up among the good seed that you planted. I think the Lord knew exactly what he was talking about. That stuff is in there, isn't it? In the heart. Jeremiah said, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? That stuff just comes up. What are you going to do with it? You just leave it there? If you do, that's exactly what we have here, of the seed being sown among the thorns. Well, you didn't put it there. Why not leave it there? Because if you leave it there, it chokes out. Let's see down. Does that mean it wins over? You ever had a garden to go completely to weeds? If it's not attended to? If it's not cultivated? If we don't pull some weeds every now and then? Oh, we got herbicides now. We can take care of that. I'm afraid you're going to have to go back to the old-fashioned way of doing things to understand this parable. The thorns, the weeds, choked the effect of the Word of God. You understand that? Do we understand how that can happen in our lives? Now there's where you need to do some plowing. There's where you need to do some meditating. Just how can I get these weeds out? They're going to keep coming. Isn't that right? Even in a natural garden, they're going to keep coming. Unless you douse it with Roundup, you know. Won't get on that, but they're going to keep coming. You know why? And why that's such a good illustration is because in this heart, those things are just going to keep coming out. That iniquity's there. The natural man, the old nature, is still there. Those things are still going to keep coming up. And so we need to keep tending. We need to keep reading the Word, taking heed to the Word, praying God that He would give us understanding. And as we grow deeper in understanding, we become more established. That root system gets better and better and better. So you need to tend to those good things, tend to the heart, so that the good things can grow. Jesus says, if you don't, it's going to choke out the effect. It's going to render them, let's see, this says, Matthew says, the care of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. If you look at Luke's account of this in Luke 8, 14, I believe it is, Luke said, and brings no fruit to perfection. Which means maturity. No mature fruit. What are we talking about? Well, in the natural field, you're talking about whatever grain was sown, coming up and bearing fruit. The lesson to us is fruit of the Spirit, isn't it? So if it becomes unfruitful, or as Luke says, brings no fruit to perfection, what are we talking about? Remember Galatians 5:22? Fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. What he's saying is those things will not be brought to perfection. There will be no mature fruit like that. What is our life if there's no joy, no love, joy, and peace, and all these other things? How much glory to God is it in our life if we become unfruitful and don't bear any of those fruit? How much good influence would you be on your family if you're not bearing any good fruit? Or your coworkers, or schoolmates, or out in public. Doesn't it rejoice your heart when you see folks living by the scriptures and conducting themselves according to Christian principles out in public? Oh man, that rejoices my heart. Because Jesus didn't say, "Let your light so shine in the church." He said, "Before men." That's where we let our light shine. That's where we need to be bearing this fruit, to the glory of God. So what happens to the life when this fruit is, when the word that teaches us how we can bear that fruit, when no fruit comes to perfection, when we become unfruitful, what happens to that life? You see how important it is for us to receive the word, understand the word, apply the word, and bring glory to God? This is a far-reaching parable. It is so important. It is so applicable. And like I said before, I know it's the need for it is rampant, but let's just take it personally today. Lay it to heart in your own personal application of it. How much is the Word of God entering into our hearts, becoming rooted, bearing fruit? By the way, the bearing of the fruit is when we apply the word. We need to hear it. We need to understand it. But when we apply it, that's where the joy is going to come from. That's where the fruit is going to be born. That's when glory to God. You know, it's one thing to know it, but when we apply it, that's what glorifies God. All right? So, we bear this fruit in our lives, before our family, our friends, where we work, school, whatever. Now, last week when we were talking about the seed that fell on the stony ground, didn't have much root, didn't have much moisture to keep it going, and when the heat came, it withered away. And the application of that is when someone who's starting to grow in their understanding of the word, but they don't have that deep-rooted love and appreciation for what God's done for us, and they're not ready to start honoring God when they're made to feel different. You know, when you start following the Lord, there's plenty of times when you realize you're different. A lot of people don't follow the Lord. Well, are we deeply rooted enough that we're willing to take that heat and be faithful to God and show our love for Him and show our appreciation for what He did for us, regardless of what they think? Now, there's always a need for me to live Christian principles and be kind to other folks and gentle and speaking the truth in love, but we need to be faithful to God first and foremost. And if we're not deeply rooted in the fact that He loved us enough that He died for us while we were yet sinners, that He did for us what we couldn't do for ourselves, if we don't have that appreciation, if we're not deeply rooted in that, we're going to find ourselves not being willing to be different, not being willing to honor God before men. We need that deep root of appreciation and understanding, gratitude to God for what He's done for us. But when we've come to our lesson today, then we find that these plants are rooted. They did grow. So the earth was, there was some preparation for the earth. There was some good ground there that it fell on. But there was also thorns. And those thorns were allowed to grow. See, when you've got a garden and you start seeing the weeds come up, even if you just clipped them off at the top of the ground, at least there's a smaller plant that's drawing nutrients. It's best to just root it out, isn't it? So it doesn't keep drawing nutrients from the soil. But at least while they're small, they're not such a threat to choke out the good plants. But when they're allowed to grow, it chokes, and this is Jesus' words, it happens every time just like this, because he told us pure truth. When the thorns are there and no effort is made to take them out, then it, even though the seed was able to put down roots and begin to grow, even if it was watered, it's going to be choked out by the weeds. And there are lots of weeds in our heart, isn't there? And that's what we need to get to real quickly here, because we're running out of time. All right, Jesus said, again, verse 22, the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word. Now, if it chokes the word, makes us unfruitful, we've been defeated. God's not going to get glory. He's not going to be honored. All right? So, riches of this, so the weeds, the thorns, represent care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches. And if you go to Luke's account, you'll find one more. Pleasures. Pleasures. So here are the weeds. Care of this world. Deceitfulness of riches. And pleasures. Choke. Strangle. The word and keep it. Prevent it. From having its effect on our heart. In our mind. To the degree that we'll use it to bring glory to God. I hope when you leave this place today, you'll have a renewed interest in pulling weeds. What are we talking about? It's either unfruitful and bringing no fruit to perfection, or honoring God with your life and being a good influence on those around you and being able to apply the Word of God to such a degree that fruit is born. And a lot of that fruit will be a good influence upon others, and it might encourage them to bear fruit. And then others would be. You see the implication here? Do we want to just ignore the Word of God? All right. I think we made that point. Cares of the world. I want to use three things about the cares of the world. That's part of the weeds. You didn't think you'd come study weeds this morning, did you? We're talking spiritual weeds. Care of the world. How is it that the care of the world causes you to be unfruitful? I'm sure there's a long list, but in the interest of time, I'm just going to. One way is we don't have any time for the Word of God. We got so many other things claiming our time and attention. We don't give the Word of God any time. And you can prove that to yourself. How much do you think about it after you've heard it? How long will you think about it before the things of this world have grabbed your attention and you're off thinking about and doing other things? How much time do we give to the Word of God? If you give it a little time, it's not time to take root. Does that make sense? Can you believe it? Thank you. It's kind of like Mary and Martha. Here was a wonderful opportunity to hear those gracious words of God Himself. You know, we heard at the Gulf Coast, somebody said something about, you know, Jesus is not God Junior. He's God. And Mary and Martha and Lazarus and those that were invited to their home that day, they had the opportunity to hear Jesus. That's a puny preacher like me. They had the opportunity to hear Jesus. And Mary was right there at His feet. And I can only imagine she was just hanging on every word. Don't you think? Where was Martha? Was she sitting beside her, hanging on those same words? She was busy. And maybe what she was doing was good things. But Mary had chosen that good part. She had time for the Word of God. And a lot of folks is not here today. Every Sunday we meet, just my heart just sags. Lots of folks don't have time for the Word of God. And if I thought they were reading their Bibles every day and meditating upon it, it wouldn't bother me as much. But this is the most of what a lot of people hear from the Word of God. Because we're not going to take time ourselves to read it. Right? Time. It's a precious commodity. There's lots of good ways we can spend it. Are we redeeming the time? Are we taking the appropriate use of our time and giving some priority to God's Word? That's one of the weeds. Not spending time with the Word. It's one of the weeds that chokes out the effect of the Word of God. What else? No energy. We spend our time doing so many other things. By the time we get ready to sit down and read the Word of God, we go to sleep. Now, there's a couple of things that work here. Yes, you don't have anything left to devote to the Word of God. But also, it's a heart problem. How much love do we have to God's Word and to God Himself, who has done so much for us? I mean, He suffered tremendously so that we could live, to remove the penalty of our sins from us forever. Never to be remembered against us. How much of that did we deserve? How much of it have we received? Oh, He's given us everything. He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? Isn't that worth a little bit of time? But when we spend all our time doing other things, we use up all of our energy. We're not nourishing the Spirit within us. We don't have any energy left to devote to the Word of God. And so both of these together, the no time and the no energy, amount to what you find in Revelation chapter 2, the message to the church at Ephesus. Do you remember the church at Ephesus? They had wonderful pastors. They had wonderful teaching. They were faithful. They were strong. They understood the doctrine. And they hated those that didn't teach the truth. But, you knew that was coming, didn't you? But Jesus said, I have somewhat against thee because you've left your first love. What's our first love? The Lord. the one that's done more for you than anybody in this world will ever do for you. They left. Had they lost it? Well, in the timely application, yes, but we believe in eternal security. But they had left. They had made choices that had caused their hearts to grow cold to God. By their choices, they left. Wasn't God's fault. It was their choices. And their hearts had grown cold. And the only remedy was to repent. That's what stood between them and getting back to their first love. I don't care how dear someone is to us. Husbands and wives need to hear this more than anything. Doesn't matter how dear anyone in this world is to us. They cannot do what Christ has done for us. And you cannot love that person like you should without loving God the way you should. When you love God the way you should, He opens it up to where you can love better. It's a matter of priority, isn't it? If we don't give it the priority, the word gets choked out. Boy, we need this lesson, don't we? How much of the word is being choked out in our lives? How many weeds need to be pulled out of our heart? Only you can answer that. Okay? So when we're talking about no time, no energy left to devote to the Word of God, it amounts to leaving our first love. You may have never heard those brought together in the same application, but it's true. It's true. All right. The care of this world. How about the deceitfulness of riches? Can that choke out the things of God? Notice it says the deceitfulness of riches. How many times have you heard folks, you know, this is the thing that people try to justify themselves with. You know, how often do you hear, well, if I had more money, I'd be happier. Now, I understand when it's scarce and it's a hard time paying the bills. That's tough. And there would be some relief in having some more of that. But the point here is, how much priority are you putting on that? See, it's not money that's the root of all evil. It's the love of money that's the root of all evil. And so, oftentimes people try to justify themselves thinking they'd be happier if they could do those things that would get them more money or it would help my family. Be good for my family. I don't want them to have to suffer the things I did. The deceitfulness, when our focus is not on the Lord, you know, I think we need to provide the best we can for our families. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about when the attention, when the affection for those things is misplaced and we put too much of that into it, rather than giving priority to the Word of God. I mean, isn't He our provider? Isn't He our paymaster? What do you have that you've not received? You need to honor Him. Pay attention to that Word. So these other things in life will not, you know, the evil part of that is the pursuit of it. How do we go about living our life? You know, Jesus said, take no thought. What you'll eat, what you'll put on. And he points us to the birds. I've said this many times before, but you know, I've never seen a little bird with a sign around his neck saying, I'll work for food. He provides for them. I think you can look back over your experience and see how God's provided some things for you. And you need to do that to remind yourselves of the days ahead, of trusting God. Now, we need to do what we can. You know, I'm not saying sit around, you know, like that. This is a saying about Confucius, say, man who sit on the hillside with mouth open, wait long time for roast duck to fly in. Maybe with this current administration, that might happen to some folks. But the Bible says, he that would not work shall not eat. And that's the truth. And we need to do that. But it's the deceitfulness of riches that choke out things of the world, things of the Word of God. Very quickly, boy, the time's gotten away. Paul told Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 6. Let's begin reading in verse 6. But godliness with contentment is great gain, for we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. You believe that? I had a brother in the ministry that worked in a funeral home, and he showed me some caskets they're making nowadays that's got little drawers in them that you can put stuff in to take with you. Well, you can put it in the ground that way, but you're not going to take it with you. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. I understand, you know, that we have needs. We want to provide for our families. But it's the pursuit of that and it's the extent of that that's under consideration here. Are we truly looking to the Lord to provide while we do what we can in supporting our families? Having food and raiment therewith, let us be content. But they that will be rich, see, there's the attitude. They that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful. See the direction this is going? Hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. You can lose your life in this world with the wrong attitude toward riches. And somewhere along the way, it's choked out the Word of God. We've become unfruitful in the things of God. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, all those things, those nine things. It's not happening in our life. For the love of money, he says, is the root of all evil, which while some have coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. See the direction you're headed? When he says erred from the faith, that word erred there means seduced. Seduced. Deceived. Convinced of something false. Drawn away. Headed in the wrong direction. Headed for trouble. See what heeding the Word of God will save us from? It saves us from so much. So much. and makes us fruitful so that we can be a good influence upon others. Oh, how we need to be careful about those thorns and weeds in our heart. Pull those things out. Try to do what we can to feed the inner man and strengthen the inner man so that the flesh and the pull of the flesh is not so strong. All right, so care of the world, time, energy, deceitfulness of riches, and pleasures. Isn't it interesting that this in pleasures kind of accompanies more money? And all of it together draws the heart away. Chokes out the effect of the word. Gives you more confidence in the flesh and in your circumstances and your ability to handle the circumstances rather than to being dependent upon God. It's the condition of the heart. Has that soil been plowed and prepared? And is it being kept so that the word of God can penetrate, put down deep roots, and grow? It's a matter of life and death, isn't it? Whether we're going to live and enjoy the abundant life and bear fruit to the glory of God and be a good influence upon our family and our friends and wherever we are, or is our life going to be like a desert land, barren and unfruitful? The seed that fell among the thorns became unfruitful. Gee, sounds like to me we need to know more about how to keep the weeds under control, don't we? Sounds like to me we need to realize what those weeds are in principle and avoid those things in our day-to-day lives so that we can give the Word of God the opportunity to take root and bear fruit to God's glory. Because when that happens, that shows our thankfulness and our gratitude for all that He's done. We can never thank Him enough for what He's done for us. But by bearing fruit and keeping His commandments, we're saying, you know, Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. So when we keep His commandments, we're saying, Lord, I love you. You may not be using the words, but you're doing it. You're saying, I love you. You're also saying, I appreciate what you did for me. And I want to keep bearing that fruit to your glory. I want to keep living in a way that I can be a good influence in the kingdom of God. Don't we need that? Doesn't Piney Grove Church need that? Doesn't your family need that? Be good for us to show that to our coworkers, wouldn't it? And our classmates. And if nothing else, whether we know anybody's looking or not, just bearing that fruit out in public to the glory of God. That's why, and I don't have time to deal with this very much, but that's why the scriptures, Paul in Ephesians chapter 4, talks about putting off the old man, which is corrupt, and put on the new. That old man's full of weeds. But when we put on the new man, those weeds are not nearly as strong. Paul taught that lesson again in the book of Colossians, didn't he? Use the same terms, the old man and the new. And so we need to remember those things. We need to pay attention. Jesus, this is just one piece of that parable. But he said the seed that fell among thorns was choked. And when he interpreted it for us, he told us it was the deceitfulness of riches. It was the care of the world. It was pleasures that choked out the word. They were given priority instead of the word of God. Now that doesn't mean, you know, we can be joyful and happy and enjoy life and our families. We can enjoy all those things. But we can enjoy them a whole lot better when we give a priority to the word of God. Because if we don't give the proper priority, those things choke out the effect of the word of God. I've probably said this 1,000 times in many ways, but I hope we get the point. And my desire is that these words will sink down deep in your ears and find a lodging place in your heart. And that you'll ponder them and the Spirit would water it so that it would bring forth much. You know, Paul said, I've planted, Apollos watered, but God gives the increase. And so we can plant by preaching the gospel, sowing the seed. We can plant and plant and plant. And others can come along and water. And there's also the refreshing of the Spirit. When you're pondering the Word of God and asking God for understanding, and He'll bless you with the Spirit of understanding. But then it needs to grow. We need to give it time. Give it the proper priority, so that it can bring forth fruit in our lives to the glory of God. And when it does that, it will be a blessing to you. And who knows how many others. He said, when we get to the good ground, you'll find that he says, you know, some brought forth 30-fold, some 60, some 100-fold. But whatever fruit is born is to the glory of God. Oh, may God help us to tend to the garden of your heart. And give some attention to what he said were the weeds. The care of the world. The deceitfulness of riches. Pleasures. And make sure you give an appropriate priority to the Word of God, that we can bring glory to His name. May God bless you is our prayer.